Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Oh, so much stuff to talk about, so little time to do it. Lena Dunham's a nut. People are chiming in. You didn't hear what she said. First of all, if you listen to the show, God bless you. Thanks so much for spending time with us in our little dog and pony show we do here with the Anthony, Phil, the Czar, and I, and as we put this thing together. And we're different. We like to talk about stuff that I find interesting because it's my show, and that's the beauty of what I'm able to do in my show. If you don't like it, you know what? Go get your own show. No problem with that. You're not going to like everything I have to say. That's good. I don't want you to like everything. I want you to have, I think discord is good. You know, I think it's good to have conversations. And for somebody on talk, the minute you hear somebody say talk radio, you think of what? You think of right wing talk radio. And I think if you've listened to the show, you know that I'm as fair as it gets. I have my beliefs in some ways that they lean to the left, in some ways they lean to the right. And I'll throw you my opinions. And I am as open as anybody when it comes to a lot of social issues, you know, whether it be marriage equality or choice. And Lena Dunham is, I think for a lack of a better term, is an idiot at times. And that's probably giving her too much. And what she came out and said the other day about an abortion on her podcast is, it's insane. Who says these things? She does. She thinks she can get away. She thinks she can get away with it. She thinks she'll be cheered on by it. And I don't think she expected the backlash she got. What she said on her podcast is essentially, now I can say that I still haven't had an abortion, but I wish I had. Texter wrote in earlier and said, if she came to a burn ward, would she say something like, I can't say that I've been in a fire and burned almost to death, but I wish I had. No. Who says these things? I'm curious. Have we gotten to this point where we have zero shame? There's no couth in the world that we live in. There's zero kind of shame. You shouldn't wish you had an abortion. That's like saying you wish you had cancer. Why? So you want to just see what it's like? People have to make hard choices in life. And just because you're super liberal, progressive, and uber, uber, uber about, you know, pushing back against anything that has to do with, well, you know, religion or any of the things out there, you can't celebrate something like this as if it's some sort of badge of courage, because it's not. It's a choice that somebody makes, and it's a private decision that in many ways, it does affect them. I read an article last week that says it doesn't affect them like it used to. But it's funny, as you break down the article, you realize that an older generation has, again, and a lot of this is a generational thing. Understand that. There's a generational thing. We just talked earlier about half-night stands where people can hook up and they've decompartmentalized everything. They put it just boom, boom, boom. It's no big deal. It's sex. We move on. It was an act. Let's all go. And I don't care if I ever see you again. But as again, a younger generation, a millennial generation, an older generation looks at it in a much different way. And they sure the hell don't brag about it. You used to wear an A on your chest because you were an adulterer. Now it's some sort of badge. It's insane. It really is. But that's where we've become. And again, the cultural divide that we have in this country for a lot of things. First of all, we have a younger a millennial generation is a younger progressive generation. But I will say this, there are libertarians in there, a ton of them, and there are conservatives in there. Not everybody on a college campus is badass crazy. It's not. You may see 200 or 300 kids that are doing a sit-in and throwing a fit and wearing some sort of shirt about something, but the other 49,000 people that go to that school just want to get their degree and get the hell out of there. But it is definitely a different generation. They're hard to peg. Lena Dunham, for a lot of young women out there, they look up to her. And they may come into a situation in their life where they have to make a choice. She makes it seem like it's something you should do. It's a rite of passage. Like, you know, this is just a rite of passage. It's not. It's a decision that people make, and they don't take it lightly. Even though it may not affect them like an older generation, it may affect in a much different way. It doesn't mean that there isn't something there that that is a choice that they're making that affects them. And it doesn't mean there's something to be braggadocious about it, right? She makes it seem like, well, you know, after the fifth one, you know, you get a punch card, and it's just, it's awesome. It's free. They give you a shirt and a whole nine yard. It's not. The insanity to say something like that. And again, I am all about choice. I don't ever want to take any human being's choice away from them, no matter what it is, because I think you have to do what's right for you, and you live with the consequences, good or bad. You live with those consequences. I've had friends who've made choices in their life. Some of them was to keep a child. Some of them was to go with the procedure and to abort the child. And you know what? The baby? Eh. I don't judge them. I never would judge them. They're still my friends. And that was a choice they didn't make lightly. And let me tell you, two of my friends that did it regret it to this day. One of my friends said it was the best thing that the best choice that she made at that moment, at that time, in the situation that she was in. Don't have a problem with it. I don't. But they didn't brag about it. They didn't go on, you know, a podcast and talk about it. They didn't throw up their hands when they came out and said, I did it. Like she thinks it's like American Idol and she just got the ticket to Hollywood, right? Like, oh my God, I did it. Did you guys know what I did last night? I got an abortion. Oh my God. You did? What did it look like? Like it's a puppy or something. It's not. You shouldn't brag about that. We get mad at sports stars for dancing too much or for showing off or for dabbing or this, that, and the other, because they're going to be bad role models. And I'm supposed to say, this is a good role model? This right here is a good role model? Let me tell you something. Even from progressive left-wing people who support choice, they've all come out and said, what are you talking about? What in God's name? Who says this? But remember, a younger generation of people, a younger generation of people. We are a swipe society. And to them, this is just another version of swipe. They don't feel anything. They don't care. They don't want to be tied down. They don't want to be bogged down. It is a day in their life. And they move on. An older generation, we think about things a little bit more. To them, life in itself is quick. They've grown up with email and Facebook and Instagram and all of these things and 24-hour news and, you know what, 500 channels. When I grew up, we had like 10 channels, you know? We had On TV and Select TV. It was like our first cable provider. We used to rent VCRs from the supermarket. It weighed 600 pounds, right? I mean, they grew up with everything at their fingertips, and that means everything. Why did you get back to me in 30 seconds? When I was a kid, you may not hear from me for 2 days. Why? Because I'm riding my bike with my friends, and I didn't know you called. Their life is instantaneous. That is gratification. That's both good and bad in them. And so they don't have the same kind of feeling, but it doesn't mean that they still should be so callous about it as to look up and celebrate somebody like this who would come out and say it. Because the people that do go through that, they will have different emotions. It may not affect them as much as some other people, an older generation, but it doesn't mean it still doesn't affect them in some way, shape, or form. And it doesn't mean somewhere down the road there won't be regret. Again, I'm different than most. But I think what she did was low class. And how in God's name could I be mad at Ezekiel Elliott for jumping into the Salvation Army bucket over the weekend at the Dallas game, or for Cam Newton dabbing on the field and celebrate somebody who's a ninny like this? And I don't think she's ever going to have an abortion, because there's not enough liquor in the world ever for somebody to go there. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chat at ChadBensonShow.com, text the show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. You call us, too. Apparently, we got phones. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Got some bad news for you. The stock market is a rigged game, and it's rigged against you. What Wall Street doesn't want you to know is that there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth. The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com. Do you want to lose all your money? Well, I've got some bad news for you. The stock market is a rigged game, and it's rigged against you. What Wall Street doesn't want you to know is that there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth. The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
For life's aches and pains, choose Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. It works fast, and it's easy to use. Designed to work odor-free in all those remote areas. It works here. It's odor-free here. It works here. Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. Fast-acting, easy-to-use, odor-free pain relief for all those remote areas. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and other fine retailers.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole, wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I forgot holiday gifts for my clients.
Well, Staples is the place for great tech gift ideas, like Apple TV.
Terrific. I need ideas.
Staples Tech Gifts coupon book has great ideas and over $700 in savings on tech gifts your clients will love.
That's perfect, Staples guy. I don't know what to say. I mean, you did this just for me?
Well, yes, and everybody else.
For your tech gifts this holiday, visit Staples and look for Staples Tech Gifts coupon book. While supplies last, ends 12/31/16, excludes clearance Staples U.S. stores only.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
The Covercraft products you know and trust are now available directly to you at Covercraft.com. You'll find custom car covers manufactured with high-performance fabrics, Carhartt seat covers in new Realtree camo patterns, dash mat dashboard covers, Colgan custom bras, specialty protection products from K9 Covers, and a whole bunch more. Be sure to use the code DRIVE at checkout to receive free shipping in the continental U.S. Get protection for whatever you drive at Covercraft.com.
The holidays are here. This year, be sure to get real cash back on all your shopping with Ibotta. Download the free Ibotta app, I-B-O-T-T-A, and get cash back on gifts, groceries, and alcohol for all your celebrations. Just unlock, shop, and get cash. Gifts for them, cash for you. Download Ibotta free today and get $10 just for trying it. $10. I-B-O-T-T-A. This holiday, you've gotta Ibotta.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Yeah! Let's get crazy!
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Awesome! Awesome!
Confidence! Confidence does a lot for you. You ask a woman what she loves? Confidence. You want to know why? You see guys out there who got beautiful women. They've got these gorgeous women with them. And they're average to, you know, they're not a 10. They're not a 2. It may be a 6.5, you know, maybe a 7, but they got a 12. Why is that? Bit of confidence, right? I always tell every man, ask the most beautiful woman out in the room, because I guarantee you she's usually the loneliest because guys are afraid of her. Confidence, man. You got that confidence? You stride on up there? Confidence does sports. Man, when I played sports, there were days when it didn't matter what I do. I remember we'd warm up, man, and I'd shoot a ball, and it would hit the post in warm-ups, and I'd look at my friend. I go, I'm not going to miss today. Everything's going in for me. I'd put it 50 yards over in warm-ups, and there'd be days in warm-ups, man, I'd hit a ball, and it would be the perfect shot up in the corner. I'm like, I couldn't score if I was the only guy in the field. There's just something about it. There's confidence in life, right? There's confidence. And when you're playing, man, Michael Jordan, all of these people who are on stage, you ever seen rock stars and stuff? You could just tell when they're in the flow, right? You could just tell. People, there's confidence. Some of your friends, you're like, man, that guy's got something going on. She's just really working it. It's something about her. Our economy works the same way. Confidence, consumer confidence is massive. It is, to me, the most important indicator of where we're heading as a group. You can look at all of the other stuff, and it's all a bunch of numbers, and it doesn't matter. What matters is how you feel. And consumer confidence is at a 9-year high. And it's, look, it's no coincidence that, you know, on November 8th, a guy that many people think is going to come into this White House and shake some things up and really be about consumers and rebuilding the workforce and the middle class and this, that, and the other, that people feel good about it. All that matters is how do you feel? The confidence I talk to when I talk to people, there is some optimism. Because here's the thing. If you have confidence in the economy, you're going to spend. If you feel that you don't have to worry about your job tomorrow, if you feel I got a little bit more jangle in my pocket, I'm not living paycheck to paycheck, I'm living paycheck to half paycheck, I can put some away. If you feel like you're going to be around for a bit and your business is growing a little bit and maybe you might get a raise, you'll spend a little bit more. Consumer confidence is up. It's up big time. In fact, its lowest point was 2009, which was the minus 65 as far as confidence goes. You know, you got a zero and then you got under. And, of course, the plus 10 is where we're at plus 10 now. At the best that Obama had it was 5, plus 5. I don't blame that on Obama. I think there was a lot of things. Again, he was saddled with a epic recession, depression-like situation. I think he tried to do all he possibly could. There was a lot of missteps and blown money. Some of it was his fault, but it wasn't singularly his fault. It was an ugly, ugly situation. Let's be real. But through all of this, the perfect storm, I think, is starting to happen. And I think people are feeling confident. They're spending a little bit more. They're starting to feel like they can maybe purchase a house. They're starting to feel like that maybe they can buy a car. Those big ticket items aren't so I'm scared of those things. No, I'm not scared anymore. And that's huge. This, to me, is the indicator that matters. Because, again, how you and I feel about the economy is how we will spend. If you're scared, if you feel your job's gone tomorrow, If you don't have any confidence that you're going to be employed, or that your hours may get cut, or that you're not going to get a raise this year, you know what you do? You don't spend. You hold off because you're worried. And this, to me, is good. This is solid. This is solid. Both index components outpaced their previous highs, which is exactly what we need. And this is something that I look at as the singular indicator to me that matters. Other people will look at, they'll look at like all kinds of things, but new housing starts and unemployment and it's consumer confidence. How do you feel at this moment in time? And the people I have talked to over the last umpteen weeks are feeling a little bit better. And as it gets closer, and as it not only as we get closer, as now it becomes there's some sort of certainty to him being in the White House, I think you'll start to see that rise. And I think come January, you'll see a oomph, and I think you'll start to see an uptick. And I think you'll start to see some growth. And I think it's even the little things that he has done that has people excited. Right or wrong, it's got people excited. And confidence will take you a lot of places in life. Whether it's dating somebody, whether it's playing a sport, whether it's doing something on stage, whether it's being a consumer, confidence will take you to a place. And we have that consumer confidence now. First time in 9 years we've been at where we are. And I think that's going to continue to rise. And I think if we continue to do that, remember what I say. I don't care what he's done. I don't care how people freak out about him. If we are all sitting well with a little bit more money in our bank, we've got an economy that is booming, much of that stuff goes away. When the economy struggles, those things will become much bigger. But right now, I think if the confidence is up and we spend money and the economy starts to move forward, all of those other things, the screaming, the yelling, the shouting, will fade into the background as no more than just a little bit of noise. We'll see. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, CHADBENSON, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Text the show, 323-538-2423. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame made their announcement today of who is going to be in the Hall of Fame. We've got the winners. Maybe talk a little bit about the people that didn't quite make it. Straight ahead, right here on the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
I think I'm about ready to sing it.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. In October of this year, they made an announcement of who potentially was going to be the next inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I thought Depeche Mode would get in there. They did not. Don't know why. Chic did not get in there. But Nile Rodgers, one of the co-founding members, did get in a, he's getting some sort of like music mastery award. It's kind of weird. I don't know what that is. But some did get in. Some very deserving people got in. The first one we'll start with hails from the gorgeous, beautiful East Harlem. Knows how to brang it. Went by the name of Machiavelli and 2PAC, but we loved him as just Tupac Shakur.
Big sight, new paint, go go, big sir.
Yeah. What?
Y'all know how to go, you know. All eyes on me, Buffalo G.
Roll up in the club.
All eyes on me.
Born Lassane Parrish Crooks, June 16th, 1971. Fatally shot to death by Biggie Smalls, allegedly. Is that who did it? Is that who was? Is that it? Like, is that what happened? I'm not quite sure. exactly when, you know, the whole thing. It happened in June 7th. He went to see a Mike Tyson fight. So that's all you got to know right there in Las Vegas. Suge Knight was there, and they got into a beef. Would you call it a beef? Is that what it was?
That's what we got into, say, a beef. I guess that's what you call it on the street.
Playa. We got into a beef, playa. There is no beef that I would want to get into with Suge Knight. He is not a person you want to beef with. Just ask Vanilla Ice and all the other people he's killed. But he was eventually shot to death in Las Vegas, robbed from us his talents. He's a hell of an actor, too, actually. Hell of an actor. But he's going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm completely fine with this. I know people say, well, it should be about rock and roll. Look, again, new world, new generation, new things, right? We're not going to ignore the great music that's out there. And I think Tupac brought it, and he'll be going in posthumously, if you will. The second band hails from London, England, formed in 1968 by John Anderson and Chris Squire. The band has gone under numerous formations throughout its history. 19 musicians have been full-time members, and since 2015, it consisted of guitarist Steve Howe and Alan White, as well as keyboardist Jeffrey Downs and John Davison, as well as Billy Sherwood, and they have sold about 13.5 million copies here in the U.S. They had one major hit here in the U.S. called Owner of a Lonely Heart, their only number one. It is Yes.
Don't forget Trevor Rabin.
That's right. Trevor Rabin joined him in 1983, and he took them more commercially pop.
He wrote this pretty much his album.
Pretty good. Again, pretty good. I was never a huge Yes fan. Like, my dad liked Yes, but I didn't, you know, because it was more, again, a 60s kind of thing, and they came and they had that one hit, and they just kind of disappeared from there. But they definitely had some music influence out there. I said earlier, a little Jethro Tully without the flute. From there, we moved to the Great Northwest, Washington, the late 80s, early 90s. Kids not bathing and wearing long, stringy hair, dressing in flannels and seeming to be pissed off about growing up in the suburbs. First, it started with Nirvana, followed by this band, Pearl Jam. That's Eddie Vedder, who does not finish his words and sings with marble in his mouth. Is that what he sounds like?
Yeah, he really does.
We, Scotty comes to us today and says, you guys got to look at this. There's a site where you can go. It's on YouTube, and you can hear how it's the misquoted song of all time. And when you hear the words that people think is being said there, you think, you're like, wow, that's kind of sound like that. And there's a part where it says, like, and I want fries. I have no idea what he's saying. That's what it sounds like to me in my head. I was not a huge grunge fan. But, you know, again, you're pissed and you're angry because you grew up in the, what, suburbs of Seattle? I'm angry, Mom! I'm angry. Like, these would be affluenza right here. Right? You know, these kids. Like, Tupac singing about getting shot, you know? Like, Fitty singing about getting shot. They're like, I'm angry at my mom because my girlfriend broke up with me.
Come on, that's every rock song ever.
It is. It is. Very much so. This, we flip over to The Pond, the other side, formed in 1970 in Birmingham, England, led by crazy singer-songwriter, multi-instrumental Jeff Lynne and Rory Wood, as well as Bev Bevren, which is a great name that is, isn't it? They are characterized as Beatlesque pop, classical arrangements, futuristic iconography, a little bit of Queen-like opera feel. Ladies and gentlemen, from Birmingham, ELO.
Tell you what I just heard. There's gonna be a party all over the world.
Miley Cyrus had Party in the USA. They're partying all over the world.
They are partying all over the world. I love ELO. I love Jeff Lynne. I think Jeff Lynne is one of those underrated musicians who, if he's George Harrison in a lot of ways. And that's probably why they work so well in the Travels. Was that the Traveling Wilburys?
Yeah, it's funny because Jeff Lynne produced all of those albums too, and the drum sounds are almost exactly the same.
Yeah, he's just great. I mean, I love. They've sold active for about 13 years, recording and touring together. They sold over 50 million worldwide copies. And despite having a big success in the United Kingdom, they only had a few hits over here, but still a band that I absolutely love. That is Electric Light Orchestra. Now, this is the most curious of bands. I thought they were in there. They're not. And how this is going to take place as they head into this next little adventure here, i.e. showing up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I do not know. But I am curious. The band was formed in the year 1973 in San Francisco, led by a man named Steve Perry and Neil Schon. It went and went and went. They rocked like nobody else. Stadium Rock, I believe it was called back then. Long hair, feathery down the middle. Oh, yes, kids. It was like nothing you hadn't heard. But it was done in a way because there was an opera-like singer in the front. His name was Steve Perry. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends of all ages, going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Journey. Now, I don't know what is going to happen to them. In the U.S. alone, they sold 48 million copies, making them the 25th best-selling band. Worldwide sales have reached almost 100 million, making them one of the world's best-selling bands of all time. Journey's ranked 96th on VH1's 100 Greatest Artists of All Time, and they're going to be inducted into this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But there is a issue here, and that issue is Steve Perry hates everybody in the band and won't have anything to do with them. Do you think, you know, this is like, if there's ever a time to bury the hatchet, you would think this is it. But I think he and Neil Schon hate each other so much that there will not be a Steve Perry sighting. So we'll have that Filipino guy, and I think I'm going to screw his name up. It's Arnel Pineda, I think, who's, by the way, got a great voice. And if you've never heard his story about essentially being a karaoke singer that gets the opportunity to go be the lead singer of Journey, it's great. But it's Journey with Steve Perry that's going in. This guy just happens to front the band. But it was, if this guy was here 25 years ago, there is no Journey like we know it now. That's my say right there.
Maybe they'll induct him into the Hall of Fame, and then, you know, just like Guns N' Roses, they'll reunite and they'll go out on tour again.
Oh, how bad would you feel if you're that guy who's played, you've done everything right, right? You know, you've done everything right. You left your accounting job in the Philippines or wherever. You've done all of it right. You've been the lead singer. You're wearing leather. Your hair's a little bit longer. You get up there. You sound like him. But all of a sudden, hey, the dude comes back. You're gone, right? Because you're not like, you know, it's not Van Hagar, right? Because like, Sammy Hagar was a star before Van Halen. So, dude, poor Ariel. He could be asked out.
Oh. And let's be honest. Ripper Owens was not nearly as good as Rob Halford was in Judas Priest.
No. That movie was at the movie Rockstar. Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg. That was a great movie. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I would love to see them reunite even for a night, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do that because I just think that the hate runs deep between those two. And finally, we exhausted everything in our power to find something we could play that was of any kind of ear candy from this woman. We could not. And I look over at poor Anthony there because we pulled up all of her music. And obviously I know who she is. Everybody out there probably recognizes her name. But the music, he played something that was on the computer next to me that literally dolphins were crying in the ocean if they heard it. It was so bad. But she's going in anyways, Joan Baez. We're on promise I open.
Ah, that's some Joan right there. That's her second big hit.
She sounds a lot like Nickelback. By the way, do you know who the second most famous person in Journey is?
No, who?
Randy Jackson.
Oh, but yeah, but he didn't play with them, like...
It still doesn't matter. He was in Journey, right? Like, I tell everybody I'm in Earth, Wind, and Fire. The only reason they don't know I'm not in Earth, Wind, and Fire is because I'm white, which is racist. That is your Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees this year. Congratulations to all the band. Let's get Depeche Mode in there, okay? That's all I'm saying. I think they deserve it. Solid band. Wrap it up. Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Everyone acts a little differently around their birthday, don't they? You ever have that friend that gives you the birthday alert?
Hey, just want to let you know, next Tuesday's my birthday.
Just want to let you know I'm not getting you anything. But they give the alert because, you know, there's so much pressure in our society to have a good time on your birthday. You know, it's like, I can't believe I'm going to work on my birthday. Can't believe I'm doing laundry on my birthday. Can't believe I'm paying for sex on my birthday.
That's a bummer, by the way. It is my birthday today. Ha ha! Not next Tuesday, today. My man Anthony here, his birthday is 2 days from today. It's crazy. I love it. I've been blessed, man. I want to thank everybody who's Facebook. You've tweeted at me. You've done all this kind of stuff. Thank you. Happy birthday. It has been a fantastic day. If I'm going to... Best time, waking up, hanging out with my son all day. Got a couple days here left for him before he goes back to his mom for the holiday season. He's been having the absolute best time. Heading over to my mom's tonight where the craziness will ensue. But I just want to thank everybody for their birthday wishes and, you know, and Christmas. Very excited about that. And speaking of Christmas, I was reading this article, and we're looking to get the good doctor on eventually here sooner rather than later. Talk about the addiction of video games and iPads. And the last couple days, you know, and look, if you've listened to the show, you know how much I absolutely think that children should be exposed early and often to electronics. Jack's in there on my big iMac right now playing around, and I have zero problems with it. I think he should be. I also know there's a balance in his life. He only likes it for so long. So far today, he has built Legos, of which I did mostly the Legos, and they weren't even Legos. They were Mega Blocks, and because that's what the Halo guy came in. And he's been outside playing basketball. And he's ready to go over to his cousin's house tonight, and they're going to run wild for the next 3 days and just be crazy and have fun. But I know that there is that kind of fear factor. And as I was reading this article, it was the New York Post a while ago, but it's been brought back up because there's a book coming out about the addiction that young kids have and how it is worse than heroin. Think about that for a second. In fact, the Chinese call it digital heroin. Dr. Peter Weibrow, director of neuroscience at UCLA, calls it electronic cocaine. And Dr. Andrew Doan, head of the research addiction for the Pentagon and the U.S. Navy, who's been researching video game addiction, calls screen technologies and video game addiction digital pharmakia, or Greek for drug, because that is what it's becoming. And this year, you're going to be getting your kids all kinds of gifts. And there is a fine line. I mean, when I was a kid, I loved to play on the computer for a little while. Like, I had Atari, and we had, like, a little DOS. And I would play for, like, a half an hour now, and then I had to be out the rest of the day. And kids now are getting away from it. And some of the stories that you hear, it is this crazy addiction. And how many of you out there have kids who struggle at night? You got to take their phones away from them because at 2 in the morning, they're playing. They're addicted to video games. They're addicted to whatever they're doing on the screen. And, in fact, kids under the age of 10 right now are getting right between 6 and 8 hours of screen time a day. Some of that's good. Jack is at school. He works off of a Google computer. They all have these little computers that they work off. I have zero problems with that because that's the future. But there does need to be balance, and that's just it. Where is the balance in the world? There needs to be more balance in a lot of this stuff. And as we look forward to Christmas and many of you guys getting stuff, I think it's one of those things where, you know, you've got to know when is when. I mean, again, we can't base it on the way that we used to live because we used to live in a time where we didn't have access. We may very well have been just like them had we had the same kind of access to computers into video games, into the internet 24/7, we may very well have been the same kind of person. So you can't just base it solely off, I'm going by what I used to do, because nowadays we live in the world of computers, we work in the world of computers, technology is what it is, but we must temper that with some sort of balance. That's why I always think it's great that every child plays a sport, even if it's just for a couple years, because not only is it great for the fitness, and it's also great for the competitiveness and to learn how to win and lose, but you have to look out for this stuff and to think about the dangers of what we talk about with the epidemic of heroin and all these kind of things, and the fact that this right here is insane. The dopamine levels are so high that it is so dramatic that it feels as good as sex to a lot of these kids and young adults who are addicted to the game. So keep that in mind this Christmas season when you're buying some stuff out there for your kids, because you need to have the balance. You do need to have them not afraid of electronics, but at the same time, you don't need them hooked on electronics or phonics for that matter.
Hooked on tronics.
Hooked on tronics. Solid fun show today. Get you over the hump tomorrow. Tomorrow will be our last show of the year. So it's going to be a lot of fun and frivolity. We got some great fun comedy stuff of epic proportions coming up, including the night before Trumpmas. You're going to love it. And a great song that the Philharmonic put us together. For Mr. Phil, for the Czar, for my man Anthony, and everybody else who pays attention and plays a part in the show. My name's Chad Benson. I wish you all night. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.